My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad for Minnie, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice just thinking about or replanning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World and you don't know the difference between Lion King and a lion bar. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, we find out what Alex's favourite attraction is.
I am going to pick something that doesn't get a lot of love on this podcast, and it should.
Also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, basically everything you need to know to have the most magical time in the most magical place on earth. And make sure you keep in touch with us as well on the socials, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. Any questions when it comes to planning for Walt Disney World or Disney Cruise Line, you can drop me a message, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at PodMagical is where we are. I say Disney Cruise Line because Megan has sent me a question. She's just got back from one of the UK Disney cruises. I've loved it, Andy, my first ever cruise. And I've fallen in love with cruising, brackets, or maybe just Disney cruising. Is it worth the next time I go to Walt Disney World doing another one that goes to Castaway Key? Or do you think I've experienced what Disney Cruise Line has to offer? Oh, I think you knew the answer to this, didn't you, before you sent me this question. You're just wanting somebody to justify you booking a Disney cruise. If you book another Disney cruise and you're sailing from Florida, then you're going to be staying at Castaway Key, which is Walt Disney World's, Disney's private island. And it's incredible. And you do get it just to yourself. It really is an island in the middle of nowhere. And the only people on it are the people who've been on that cruise with you. You get off, even if it's the same staff. So the people who serve you food on the ship during the week, when you get off and there's like a barbecue buffet on the island, it's the same staff. It's the same cast members serving you. It's brilliant. If you love the water parks at Walt Disney World, then this is next level. And if you've been on one of the Disney cruises, you know what the service is like. It's just brilliant. It's just luxury at the next level. So if you're thinking about going to Walt Disney World and tagging a cruise on the end of it, then yeah. And sometimes if you look, you can do the double dip where it goes to Castaway Key twice. Be warned, though, if you're going in colder seasons, especially December, January, it might not stop. If there's a problem with sailing, it can't actually stay at Castaway Key. It can't actually, not the word land. What's the word I'm looking for? Park? I don't know. I've never driven a ship. But yeah, sometimes the weather's really bad. It can't stop there, which is gutting. But they will make up for it. But yeah, if you've never been to Castaway Key, check out some vlogs, have a look at some pictures. It's definitely worth it. Any questions for the podcast? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PodMagical is where we are. And if you'd like to be a podcast guest, just give me a shout. That's what Alex did, and she's going to spill the tea now on why she loves Walt Disney World. Tell us, what is it for you that keeps drawing you back?
For me, it's unlike any other experience, really. I love the spectacle of it all. It's super fun. It has the nostalgia factor. People ask me why I've been as many times as I have. I just love the way it's constantly evolving. You're never going to have the same holiday twice. There's always something new and exciting to pull you back in. And personally, it's always just been a huge bonding experience for me and my family because we all enjoy it so much. It's left us with some really lovely memories of being there together.
When you say people ask you why you've been as many times as you have, how many times have you actually been?
I was trying to count it up and I kind of lost count.
That many?
I think it's around 19, 20 times.
Well, I suppose when you get to 19, 20, you do kind of lose count then.
You tend to give up a little, yeah.
So when was the first time you went?
The first time I went was back in 1990 when I was less than a year old. Obviously, I don't remember anything about that particular trip. I just go by the old home videos that I've seen. I think there's a clip of me in my pushchair and Chip and Dale were running around me playing hide and seek. Then after that, the family just kind of kept going back year after year. It was pretty much every Christmas throughout the 90s, still quite a lot during the 2000s and the 2010s. So yeah, overall, I think it is around 19, 20 times.
So what are your very first memories of Walt Disney World? Obviously, the first time you went, you weren't even one. So, but what can you remember, like the first time you remember being in the parks?
Yeah, I can give you a few. One of my oldest ones would be back in the early 90s. We were in what was then called Downtown Disney, and we went and had a character breakfast on the boat called the Empress Lily, which I believe is now called Paddlefish.
Didn't even know that.
Yeah.
It was that long ago.
it's pretty old. It was the Empress Lily, then it became Fulton's, and now it's Paddlefish. And that particular character breakfast was one of the first character breakfasts you could ever go to in Walt Disney World. And I just remember that was the first time I really started liking and interacting with all the characters. And it was the Fab Five, basically, Mickey, Minnie. And then the other memory that I have that springs to mind is, again, early 90s. Back in the day when it was MGM, they used to have a show for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it used to be on the Streets of New York section, and they just basically came out in their little turtle van, I guess, for about 5 minutes to do a bit of a show. And this was pre like scheduled character visits. There wasn't any queuing. You couldn't like do fast pass, obviously. So it was absolute pandemonium. These poor turtles were just pounced on, and it was just absolute madness. We think we had to escape it because it was just getting so out of control. It was a really popular show back in the day, and yeah, again, I just remember watching it from my little pushchair and thinking, why is everyone going so crazy for the turtles?
So you went as a little one the first time you went. Who'd you go with now?
The last time, it's always been with my family. I do have plans to go in the future with my partner. We did have a 2020 trip planned and then subsequently cancelled, obviously.
Yeah, many can relate.
Yep, which was a shame, but we just didn't want to. We could have rescheduled it, but we just didn't really want to risk it, what with the state of things and everything being so up in the air. So it won't be Disney World for a while, but we are eyeing up a Disneyland California trip for next year.
Oh, cool.
We're actually getting married next April, and our idea for a honeymoon is a West Coast road trip. So I think we could squeeze in a little trip to Anaheim for a few days if we're in the area.
Well, if you're in California, you can't not go, can you?
It would be rude not to, right? And I have been to Disneyland Anaheim once before, back in 2011, and I loved it. I'd love to go back and see Cars Land and their version of Star Wars, and also now Avengers Campus, obviously, is there. So, yeah.
Well, that's the honeymoon sorted.
Yeah.
And maybe a trip to Walt Disney World as well to make up for previous lost holidays.
Oh, yes, I hope so. It probably won't be for a good few years, but I would like to go back once all the new rides are there, like Tron and Guardians. I think now I'll probably wait for those to be finished before I go.
Yeah, because obviously we're only a few weeks away now from the 50th, and I think they're going to start announcing more dates on, like, Guardians and things like that. And of course we've got the new fireworks on the 50th, on the 1st of October.
It would be amazing to be there during the 50th, but I can imagine with everything get sort of slowly getting back to normal that it's probably going to be really, really busy. So
yeah,
and I prefer when I go just to kind of pick the quieter months, if that is still a thing anymore. But yeah, I'm happy to wait. I'd rather make sure that I'm going for all of those new rides.
So what time of year do you usually go? Do you always go around Christmas time?
Back in the day, we always used to go at Christmas, and we always used to go in the first few weeks of December. But I feel like that's not a secret anymore, that is a quieter time. So actually it is getting busier.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much all throughout the 90s, it was a Christmas trip. As I've got a bit older, we've been in early February, which was fine. And I've also been in November, early November, which I recommend. As long as you're avoiding Thanksgiving, it's generally okay. October used to be fairly quiet, but obviously now it's got all the Halloween stuff throughout the whole entire month. So, and again, I think people have cottoned on that it's a good time to go then. So actually it's got a lot busier.
I can't see there being a quiet time for quite a while, especially with the 50th being on and a lot of people who haven't been for a long time want to get the Disney fix.
I don't think so, no.
So Alex, I'm going to give you a day at Walt Disney World. 24 hours in the parks, the resorts, the restaurants. You can stay where you want, eat where you want, when you want, do what you want, park hop. What would your 24 hours be?
I would start out at a hotel breakfast, maybe somewhere like Topolina's Terrace, because it's along the Skyliner route. I haven't actually been yet, but I was sold the moment that I saw the characters and what they were wearing there.
Yeah.
I think it looks amazing.
Daisy in that sassy ballerina outfit.
Oh, yeah. She's gorgeous, isn't she? Then I would take the Skyliner over to Hollywood Studios, where in my perfect Disney day, there's no virtual queues and there's a zero wait time for Rise of the Resistance. So
straight on it.
Spend the whole morning there. Then it's probably quite hot by lunchtime, so I would head over to the boardwalk and grab a sundae at Beaches and Cream. Then I would probably actually head back to the hotel for a bit of a break, maybe relax by the pool or grab a drink at the bar or something just to recharge. Then in the evening, dinner probably at the Polynesian. Then I would finish the night by heading over to the Magic Kingdom to go on a few rides, and then I would watch the fireworks.
And back to the hotel to put your feet up.
Yeah, it's a long one, isn't it?
Let's talk about some of your favourite Disney things then. Actually, I've not asked you. Now, you've been 19 or 20 times. You can't quite remember. What's your favourite memory of those times?
There's been a lot. It's very hard to pick. Going to go with a more recent memory and say watching Happily Ever After for the first time at the Magic Kingdom. And I was quite a diehard supporter of Wishes, and I couldn't believe it was ending, and I didn't think that there would be a fireworks show that could top it. But then Happily Ever After came along and it just completely blew me away. I cried when I watched it, actually. I just love its message. I love the journey it takes you along throughout all the films. I like that it showcases some of the less obvious choices like Hercules and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. The music's just beautiful. I love how everything is choreographed with the fireworks. Bit of a tearjerker.
And that's going to be going soon for the new 50th fireworks.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you do get the chance to see it, then do. I think if nothing else was to hit you in the feels on your trip, then that one will definitely get you.
Yeah, for sure. As we're talking about Wishes, is there anything else that they used to have at Walt Disney World that they no longer have that you really miss?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I've seen so much come and go over the years. I look back quite fondly on the backlot tour at Hollywood Studios. My dad had a habit of recording the same part of Catastrophe Canyon on our home video. I think we've got about 20 different versions of the water. I remember Body Wars at Epcot, which was a really strange one that I would definitely like to experience again. The idea was that you've shrank down really small, then you'd travel around a person's body. It was odd.
Very.
I think also Alien Encounter, that absolutely terrified me as a kid, and I just love to go back on it again and see how I'd fare this time.
Still terrified.
It was just so intense.
It was a strange thing to have, though, like especially at Magic Kingdom out of all the parks. You know, you just come off the teacups and you go in that.
I watched an episode of the Imagineering story on Disney Plus where it talked about the making of and history of that ride, and it brought back all these memories of it, like PTSD or something, I don't know. I'm really surprised that they thought a ride about an alien on the loose would go down well there, but
what would you say right now is your favorite attraction at Disney World?
I am gonna pick something that doesn't get a lot of love on this podcast, and it should, and that is the Hollywood Tower of Terror. For me, it is just Disney Imagineering at its absolute best. The story, the theming, the mechanics behind this ride, it's just so well done. There's a really super interesting video on YouTube about the engineering behind the Tower of Terror, which I really recommend if you're a theme park nerd like me.
Oh yeah, we all are. Send us a link. We'll share it on our socials.
Will do. Ever since I first went on it, I've been in love with that ride, like literally obsessed. And I know Disney's California Adventure has changed their version now to Guardians of the Galaxy. And as great as that looks, I don't think you can beat the original. I'm all for change, but I actually hope that Hollywood Studios never gets rid of the Tower of Terror. I'm glad they're doing a separate Guardians ride at Epcot. They're not touching the Tower Hotel.
Although the one in California is actually really good. I was like, yeah, well, like, the first time I was going on it, I was like, I'm not going to like this. I will not like this. So actually I was going, okay, this is actually really cool.
I've seen videos of it. It does look good, but I'm just too much of a diehard for Tower of Terror.
You see, what I like as well about ours, I say ours like I live there, I don't live there. What I like about the one in Florida is the fact that how it goes down the corridor first, which like the one in Paris and California, it doesn't.
Oh, it's so clever. Yeah. And again, if you, yeah, I'll definitely send you the link to this YouTube video because it explains how they do that. It's just, it's so clever. And it's, I didn't realize that, you know, it uses the Pepper's Ghost technique in the Haunted Mansion. They use that as well on the Tower of Terror, and I never realized that.
You really are an Imagineering geek, aren't you? Throw things like Pepper's Ghost in there.
I mean, I've been to Disney like 20 times, like I'm gonna know this stuff.
And we'll chat some more with Alex in just a moment. So over at Walt Disney World right now, all the Boo Bash tickets have sold out. The Boo Bash, the After Hours event, is currently running. The Christmas After Hours event, by the way, none of those dates have sold out yet. I wonder why. It's rather expensive. And I've just been having a look at queue times the last couple of weeks. And we do this. We open the My Disney Experience just to have a look what's going on, have a look at what the queues are like. I've noticed the last few weeks, the parks have been really quiet. I'm talking about the highest wait time for Flight of Passage, 30 minutes. Tower of Terror, 10 minutes. Even Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, a few days, they've got through all the virtual queues. And then Rise of Resistance was like, standby line. It's never been known before. This could be a combination of things. It's because the American schools go back before British schools. They go back middle towards the end of August. And also, at the moment, there are no British families at Walt Disney World. So that's probably why it's very quiet. And it's hurricane season. But I have noticed the last few years, even 2019, pre-pandemic, end of August, it really quiets down. So if you're a family with kids, or maybe you're a teacher, and you can only go in school holidays, and you can put up with extreme heat and humidity, have a look at towards the end of August. As late as you can go in August does seem to be a quiet time. Now, on the last podcast, we were talking about Genie and Genie Plus, the replacement for Fast Passes. It's going to be $15 a day, and then some attractions will be even more on top of that. Now that the dust has settled, it's been a couple of weeks. We've had a chance to think about it. I put this out on our Instagram the other day too, just to see what you thought about paying for Fast Passes. Hello to Luke. He's happy with it. It's just an option at the end of the day. Kayla thinks it's a great idea. The free service, because there is a free service option, she says, we'll give that a go. That sounds quite helpful. Whereas Georgie Boy, not a fan. Seems like more cost for a less experienced. Joshua, not a fan. Jade, still not a fan. Jimble, it's pretty much how I would like it, minus the cost. Tash, it was always going to be happening at some point, but everything's just getting more expensive. And Gemma, disappointing. Our rescheduled 2020 to 2022 holidays pretty much doubled in price when you add on everything together. We do have a tip at the end of this podcast about how you can save some money if we are going to have to pay for FastPass Plus. So we'll get more at the end of that podcast. Don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the news, anything that goes on between now and the next few weeks. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at PodMagical. Let's get back to this week's guest, Alex, who we spoke to before the announcement of paid Fast Passes. And let's talk about accommodation. Where is it that you like to stay?
Most of the time we've stayed off site, but the last couple of trips we have stayed at Disney hotels. The first one we stayed at was Pop Century, but that was pre-Skyliner, so I definitely like to go back there again now it's got that. I think of all the value resorts, I think that is the best one. It's the best value. And then I've also stayed at Port Orleans Riverside, which I thought was beautiful. It's definitely one of the bigger moderate resorts to get around, but it also has the bonus of the riverboat that takes you to Disney Springs. So I think if you're looking to stay on site, then definitely have a think about those little perks, like additional travel options. You don't really just want to be relying on the buses. They're good, but it's better to have more options at the end of the day.
Definitely. And now you've stayed both on-site and off-site, would you say you converted to staying more at Disney resorts next time?
It's hard to say now because of how everything's changed in the last year or two. I mean, at this very moment, there's no dining options. They're getting rid of the Magical Express, and the extra magic hours have gone. And it is a little hard at the moment to justify paying that little bit extra.
Yeah. What are the perks?
Yeah. So again, I think that is another reason why I would probably wait a few more years just to see if things do go back to the way they are, or way they were, sorry. Or, you know, if they introduce any new kind of perks to bring people back.
And what else do you like to get up to in Orlando? Where else do you like to visit?
Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure. We'll usually set aside about 2-3 days for those parks. I haven't been in a few years now, but I also really love going to Busch Gardens. The last time I went to Busch Gardens, I think Cheetah Hunt was the newest ride. So that is quite a while ago now.
Love that ride. In fact, last time we went, we got on that ride, and just as we started leaving on it, it started raining. And I don't know if you've ever been on a roller coaster in the rain when it's pelting in your face.
I bet it hurt.
It's like having hailstone thrown in your face.
Yeah, I bet that hurt. Like, you're just getting like whipped by all this rainwater.
Great ride though, because it kind of like, I think it goes pretty much all the way around the park, zipping in and out.
It's really cool. I think it was because of the last couple of times that I was staying on site that we didn't get a car, and that's why we didn't end up going to Busch Gardens, because, you know, it takes a while to get there. It's all the way in Tampa, and you've got to dedicate a whole day to getting there and back. So, but yeah, I do miss it. I do like Busch Gardens. I think if you're really into your roller coasters, then you've got to head there and try out all the rides.
If you do go, by the way, and you don't have a car, there is the free bus that takes you to Busch Gardens. There's only one a day, and it picks you up. There's a few places in Orlando. And one of them is the entrance to SeaWorld. That'll take you to Busch Gardens. It's free. Did you miss not having a car then when you went?
It wasn't really the end of the world because we used Uber a lot. It was a few years ago now that I last went, so I don't know if the prices would have increased for Uber, but it was pretty reasonable to get to Universal and back. We also had a night where we went to downtown Orlando, and we went to see the Orlando Magic play at the Amway Center.
All right, is that worth it?
I think if you had a night free and it was the right time of the year, I would definitely check out something like a basketball or a football game, because it's just a nice change of pace. I'm not even really a big sporty person, but I really enjoyed it. It was so much fun.
And if you've been like a lot of times like you, it's quite good to find new things.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's talk about food. Are you a foodie?
I am. I think I've mentioned that Polynesian is my favourite restaurant. And can I just say that I was distraught when I heard that they aren't serving the noodles at dinner at the moment.
No, they're back.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, like a couple of days later, it was randomly announced on TikTok, of all things.
Okay.
I think there are still some other menu changes, though, but the noodles are back.
Because I was going to say, like, isn't that the whole main menu anyways, is the noodles?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Good news. Also, got three words for you, and that is Ohana bread pudding, because...
Amazing.
Oh, my God. I absolutely love that. And just in general, like, the vibe in that restaurant is awesome. You get an amazing view of the castle. You can also head down to Trader Sam's afterwards for a little bit of a cocktail.
That's a crazy place.
Yeah, it's just a really good night out.
It's like being in Las Vegas, isn't it? It's like Disney Imagineering, but with like a Vegas crazy party.
It is. It's kind of like a good date night. Like, if you haven't got any kids with you, I would definitely recommend going there.
For one drink, because it's also very expensive for a cocktail.
That's pretty much everywhere, though, isn't it?
Especially there, though. Is there anything you don't like about Disney World? Besides the price of the expensive cocktails?
Yeah, the orange side of Mission Space. I've never felt so awful coming off of a ride as I did that one. Don't do it, people. If you absolutely have to go on Mission Space, then pick the green side.
Yeah, but I'm sure the first time I went on it, you didn't even have an option. There were no sides. It was like full intensive or nothing.
Oh, no, I think when it first came out, I purposely avoided that ride because there was all these crazy stories going around about how people were ending up in hospital. And then when I went, it did have the green and orange side, but I basically got bullied into going into the orange side. And yeah, I regretted it.
Never again. Still not recovered.
Oh, no.
So any top tips when it comes to planning and booking and doing Walt Disney World, what would your recommendations be?
I can only speak from experience as a person who doesn't have kids yet. So if you aren't tied to a school schedule, then have a think about going during those quieter months. Take advantage of the planning calendars and all the guides that are online. I mean, everything is currently up in the air because of what's going on, but I'm sure once everything is back to normal, those calendars and guides will come back and it will be a massive help. I also recommend, if you aren't familiar with it already, to download the My Disney Experience app and get clued up on all of the features it has to offer. Write down your must-dos, whether that's a restaurant or a ride you absolutely have to go on. You're going to likely need to book in most of these. Also, don't forget to plan in some time to rest or just keep a day open or two.
Yeah, but do you put in rest days thinking you're going to do nothing and then end up like going somewhere going, all right, okay, should we just go to Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, but you never know. You might want to go off site somewhere. You might just want to go shopping or just laze around by the pool. You might just be exhausted and just want to have a lie in. It is good to plan ahead, but I don't think you want everything planned to a T. I think it is good to have some spontaneity still. As crazy as that concept is for a Florida holiday, like have some spontaneity. It's trying to find a good balance. I appreciate it's quite hard these days in Disney because everything does have to be planned so much, but yeah, do try and find that balance.
Or have a day where you just stay in bed and watch American TV, like Kelly and Ryan or something.
is it Stacey on the telly? Is she still there?
Still there.
She'll never go.
No. And then that Blue Muppet that's on one of the channels that takes you around DVC resorts. So California next year then?
I hope so, yes.
And when do you think you'll be going back to Florida?
Don't think it's going to be for a few years just yet. Like I said, I'm hoping that when we go, all of the major rides that they're building for the 50th will be finished. All I kind of keep reading at the moment is that there's delays. And, you know, I'm happy to wait. I definitely want to have that experience of riding those attractions. And, you know, there's so many like new restaurants that are coming up as well. I think it will be worth the wait.
And you'll be ready by then.
I will be ready.
Hopefully Tron will be too. Alex, lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
And have a magical day.
You too. Bye.
If you'd like to join me on the podcast for a chat about all things Walt Disney World, then do get in touch. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at Pod Magical. Just send me a direct message. We'll get in touch. We'll get recording you and we'll find out what your favourite attractions and resorts are and your favourite Walt Disney World memories. Finally, we've got a top tip for the podcast. This is not my tip. Thank you to Caroline, who sent me a message on Facebook. This is a great top tip, Caroline. With the announcements recently of more things being expensive and no free fast passes at Walt Disney World, now you've got to pay for Genie Plus if you want to skip the queue, says Caroline. This is what we're going to do on our next trip. We've got 200 free Disney dollars. We're going to consider that our fast passes for the trip. Forget we've got the dollars and forget we have to pay for fast passes. It's just a way of thinking. That's not a bad idea if you've got the free Disney gift cards. Maybe that's what you can use them on so it doesn't feel like you're paying out of pocket. That's a good idea. Of course, you've got any top tips? Give me a shout, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are at Pod Magical. We've got a brand new podcast coming in a couple of weeks' time. Remember, we're here every other Friday with brand new memories and brand new top tips. So make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts from, be it Spotify, be it Apple Podcasts, or wherever. Hit that subscribe button and get ready for the next podcast. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.